a funny day because we've got Honorable Patsihele, Silohe daughter, who she's having a funeral tomorrow. Honorable Makubela Machel is having a procedure done in hospital today. Honorable Tagoso Vita has been called by the provincial secretary to the Eastern Cape. Ms. Krumbok has shown that she's not available. Ms. Koza has reported that COVID restructuring, we might be having somebody else. restructuring, so we might have somebody. I don't know how many people have heard from EFS this term. And then, Honorable Force, welcome. Honorable Force, welcome. You have arrived. And I'm sure you negotiated through the accident well. But because today we are just having a presentation by the researcher and the content advisor on SONA, I think we can go ahead with that one. We can go ahead with that one. And I hope we'll finish early so that Mr. Force is free because he did raise the fact that he really would like to be early. Mr. Friday, thank you very much. Welcome to all of you in this new year. And I hope nobody drowned. Nobody was involved in an accident because of all here, even the departmental staff is here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. I'm going to give a tourism perspective to what Botswana spoke to in terms of the tourism sector and what are the things that are relevant directly or indirectly into the tourism sector. I just want to give clarity that I'm not analyzing the speech, but I'm taking things from the speech that have relevance in the tourism sector. In terms of the overview, I practically looked at the current unemployment rate because when you look at Botswana, it is a continued emphasis on the growing of the economy of the country, the unemployment rate, and so forth. So currently, the unemployment rate is 24.3% from the 25.1% in the better part of the year. And if you look at this, if you look over the years, it shows that there's a particular trend, and the trend that during the last quarter, employment drops, unemployment rate drops a bit. You might say that is due to the fact that the seasonal employment or the employment during the holiday season, but there is improvement then. In terms of tourism's contribution to the GDP, direct contribution accounted for 3%. In 2013, figures for 2014 are not yet out, and that accounted for 745,000 jobs, and where the total contribution was 9.5%, which is a contribution of about 323 billion of the GDP in 2013, with a total contribution of jobs of 1.4 million, it's 1404 million. The 10.1%, if you look at the contribution in terms of jobs, which is the 1.4 million jobs, it accounts for 10.1% of the whole job market. And if you look also in the forecast that's set by the World Tourism Tourism and Travel Council, the World Travel and Tourism Council have focused that total tourism contribution to the GDP would be 478.8 billion by 2024. Now, this is a bit worrying because in terms of the projections of the NTSS, they projected that by 2020, we would have 499 billion in terms of the GDP contribution. That is their target in the NTSS. So if the WCTC projects 478, it will be falling short of the 499 by 2020, and this is for 2024. If you look at 2013 travel and tourism investment, there was a total investment of 56.8 billion in the sector and accounting for 8.6% of South African total investment. In terms of travel and tourism investment, you're looking at your airport infrastructure, you're looking at your aircraft packages, you're looking at your towns and so forth. So it was about 56.8 billion. So it is for this reason that if the department wants to totally meet their target, so that the NCS is going to really, really do some radical transformation within their programs. If you look at the areas of significance that were highlighted in the SONA that have a direct and indirect contribution towards the tourism sector, the first one is that resolving the energy challenge. The president made an emphasis in terms of the energy challenge that we're having in the country. This is a serious concern that has also been raised by the industry to say that there are a number of challenges with regard to the energy issue. The tourism industry, in terms of the current status, they have what they call the Responsible Tourism Manual, which was developed in 2002, but this manual has not been reviewed, and I think it would be appropriate if there could be advocation for the review of the manual. In 2002, again, the FEDASA, the Federation of Hospitality Industry, started what they called the Imbelo Awards for Responsible Tourism, where they would award participants who had voluntarily applied to be in the awards with Responsible Tourism Awards, depending on the different categories that they. This particular award has been moved into the Lizela Awards. It's now a category within the Lizela Awards because since the launch of the Lizela Awards, they agreed that every aspect of tourism should be under one umbrella, which is the Lizela Awards. Now, the same thing still happens here. The department only gives out a chance to people to fill in the forms and participate in awards if they want to. So it's at your own peril whether you want to participate or not. But secondly, there is the issue of the fact that if you want to participate, you must be a vetted establishment. Now, another challenge is that if, for instance, there are certain establishments within rural counties or wherever, rural areas who cannot afford to be graded in terms of the money of grading, and let's say, for example, they are doing well in terms of responsible tourism, they would be left out due to the fact that they cannot be part of the Lizela Awards if they're not rated establishment. And I think it is important for maybe the committee to look into that, and I know the committee has been agitating for the Lizela Awards, for the Tourism Grading Council to make grading compulsory and provide incentives towards that. the other initiatives, there is an initiative by the UNWTO, the United World Tourism Organization, which is called the Hotel Energy Solutions. This was done in conjunction with the EU and the UN. What it does is that it provides SMEs with incentives for following responsible energy use, and also they've got a calculator which they use, and establishments can go onto the website and they can put in, like, the ask questions, or what kind of lights do you use, what do you use for this, and what time do you use the TV, is it on switch or whatever, and then establishment gets points according to that. And these are some of the initiatives that we can take from the global world, because this is a UNWTO initiative. And again, during the opening of the park in Newlands, the minister mentioned in his speech that there would be incentives for retrofitting energy and universal accessibility. And he spoke about this incentive. I'm just not sure if this incentive would come from the tourism incentive program. However, this is what the minister had mentioned last year during his speech at the opening of the park. I'm sure members are aware of it. It is a cooperation between DESSA and DTI, where they've funded half of the hotel and DESSA has funded the other half. In terms of more effective implementation of high-impact industrial policy action plan, I think what has happened in this particular regard is that we have what is called the Tourism Incentive Program that has not been really finalized. We don't have a framework of that. Probably the committee will see that particular framework in the near future. And this is, okay, what we call the Tourism Incentive Fund. Members are aware that in 2012, the Tourism Incentive Fund, which used to be within the Department of Trade and Industry, was moved to the Department of Tourism. However, I think during the presentations of the department, they mentioned that the Tourism Incentive Fund is not actually TIP. However, TIP was a special request from Treasury. So I'm not sure if the Tourism Incentive Fund has totally collapsed when it was transferred to the department or it exists in another form. Because the reason I'm raising this is because in terms of the Industrial Policy Action Plan, tourism is not accounted for within the tourism and within the IPEP. Because since the transfer of this particular fund, tourism has been removed from the Industrial Policy Action Plan totally. So it doesn't feature there. Now it features, it should feature in the tourism department. Now, what happened is that the DTI said in certain cases, actions and programs have been transferred to the department where suited undertake these responsibilities as part of their mandate. So, and principal functions. So if the department now does not have, says that the Tourism Incentive Fund is not within the department, it's a bit worrying. If they think the TIP is a new program that they have requested from the Treasury. In terms of state procurement from SMEs and appropriate categories, currently, I remember, I think in 2010, there was, I think, an argument between the different ministers that in terms of traveling, they would be able to utilize establishments within the tourism sector, like your credit establishments. I'm not sure how far, because we requested from the department's report, they claim to say that what is the uptake in terms of the other departments using credit establishments of SMEs and guest houses so that we promote the rural townships and also the marginalized establishments in terms of getting business. So here's another case. We've been presented with another opportunity. The department can ensure that they communicate with the other departments to say that can at least, when you go to these areas, can you at least use graded establishments, and where there is a possibility, use the small businesses which are within the tourism sector. this also says that major the department in terms of the grading council should provide at least assistance to those marginalized businesses that cannot necessarily afford to grade. This is a continuation. The principal also spoke about unlocking potential for SMEs, cooperatives, townships, and rural enterprises. In terms of unlocking the potential of SMEs within the tourism sector, we have actually leaned more in terms of the into TEP, and this is the Tourism Enterprise Partnership. Tourism Enterprise Partnership has been doing most of the support programs and skills and business development in conjunction with the department. The government has been providing part of the budget for TEP to conduct this particular census. And I think members who went to the offside are aware that this partnership is soon to come to an end. And I think it would be important for the committee to engage the department on what they are planning moving forward in terms of TEP. Are they looking at getting another institution that is going to assist in terms of skills development and ensuring that there is business development within the small businesses, townships, rural enterprises? And there's also a need, I think, for incorporation of rural packages within the tour operators. Most of these tour packages that we see are tour packages that include our rural communities and so forth. I mean, if you look at areas like Woodspring, there are airports within the Woodspring area, and that airport is very active. And if there were going to be activations around that area, because it's also closer to Kruger National Park and so forth, a business around that area would benefit immensely if the department were to structure packages that would benefit and also ensure that in their marketing of the country, SAT should put in the forefront some of these establishments which have been previously disadvantaged and some of the small businesses. Because if you also look at the Venezuela Awards, you would find out that most of the establishments that are in there are your City Lodge. You most established it. The City Lodge, it falls under one star, but in terms of other one star hotels, they don't feature because they don't have the necessary exposure and so forth. So you have your City Lodge, your Sun Hotels, your Turkey Hotels. Those are the most prominent hotels that get these hours at the end of the day. So this would also assist some of the smaller businesses to also get exposure. And also, again, the Tourism Incentive Program. How is it going to assist towards and making sure that the small businesses get exposure, get developed, and also there is no barrier to entrance within the tourism sector. In terms of skill and development and the youth incentive programs, the President mentioned that the youth incentive programs have been doing quite well. There was a lot of uptake by a number of businesses who are employing young people. And if you look at the tourism industry, you will understand that most of the people hired within the tourism sector are mostly young people. And it would be very interesting for the Department to give us maybe a collation of how far was the uptake within the tourism sector of young people, and how much the youth tourism incentive contribute towards that. And again, in terms of the skill development, it is important if I think we're moving towards a culture by we want to build, it is important that we find a balance between the offerings of the institutions of learning and what is required by the industry, because there's been a disjuncture, there's been no scaffolding in terms of the courses that are offered, so you would learn something in this particular area and learn something in another area, but there would be no scaffolding in terms of the build-up. So you would find that there are no connections for the tourism graduates, and because there's a lot of graduates in the tourism sector that are sitting out there, there isn't even a graduate placement program. So maybe the department is looking to speaking to the industry to say, how do we then facilitate a graduate placement program within the tourism sector? The prioritization of the visa regulation review, this was mentioned by the President and it was welcomed globally, and it was also welcomed within the country by business. And so, but the problem now is that after the SONA, there was clarification from the Minister of Home Affairs to say that there wouldn't really be a prioritization of review. But what would happen is that, as said last year, that the regulation would kick in on the 1st of June 2015, they will still continue that particular way. However, the only change that the government would look into increasing process centers within core markets, like for instance in China and India, because the industry had been complaining that in terms of China we've got two centers. So the Department of Home Affairs said that they would look into increasing process centers in those particular countries. This is also a bit of a contradiction from what the minister said on the day after the SONA, because the minister said the deputy president is chairing that committee that will deal with the review process, and also furthermore that particular committee would include international relations and home affairs and the Department of Tourism. So I'm not sure if the status quo remains or what is the way forward and so forth. So there's a bit of some conflicting information coming from both parties. My members will forgive me, my computer tends to be very slow. So when I go to the next slide, next time. In terms of encouraging private sector investment, the private sector has first invested in cities, and as it makes business sense, obviously. I mean, many hotels want to build more hotels in cities than your Cape Town, your Durban, and your Joburg, because for them there's more returns. But however, I think the department now should, like I mentioned Woodfrey before, we should look into creating an environment whereby the private sector moves into investing in other areas, so that you build the economy of these other marginalized areas, like your deep rural Northern Limpopo, Northern Cape, and so forth. Because we do have these areas, and they are not being utilized effectively because there's not development in those areas in terms of tourism and so forth. I mean, if there's one event in Uffington, all the hotels are full. There is a particular market that needs to be activated, and that also speaks to the domestic tourism market strategy, to say that we need to revive the domestic tourism market, and we need to ensure that there is a culture of travel within South Africans and grow supply and grow demand, and so that business can be attracted towards those particular areas up from the incentives. In terms of labor issues, which is workplace conflict and minimum wages bill, I think members are aware that in 2002, there was introduction of minimum wages for hospitality industry that fix your hotel, your restaurants and so forth. So there are minimum wages for those particular industries. But there's an opportunity here, because I'm sure members are aware that there is a minimum wage bill that is in Parliament, that has been tabled in Parliament, and Parliament is busy with public hearings. It would be important if members could get into that space and see if the industry participates in, so that we don't find ourselves falling back is the same vein as what happened during the immigration regulations input. So I think members can speak to their constituencies and get contributions towards that particular exercise. So that, because in as much as we have the hospitality industry minimum wages, other sectors within the tourism industry are still lagging behind. They don't have minimum wages. And also again, speaking to working conditions in the tourism sector, I think most of us are aware that within the tourism sector, especially in the restaurants in most of the cities, there are foreign nationals that are employed there. Is it because foreign nationals are paid less, or is it because they work better, or is it because they're not embattled with the whole labor relations things that are happening? And I think that is what we need to get into when we look into this thing, so that industry as well needs to be made accountable to say, these are the minimum wages. Are you even paying the foreign national minimum wages? Because if that's the case, then it's something else. Then it means that the South African youth does not want to work. But if the foreign nationals are paid less, then it means something else again. So we need to look into that as well. And the department maybe needs to do a study on that particular area. And in terms of Operation Pakisa and the oceans economy, I'm sure members are aware that there's been a serious initiative for cruise tourism to be entertained in the country. Not necessarily building, we don't have to build cruise ships and also manage them. However, we need to tap into that market because it already exists within our economy. And the only problem is that our tourists, come here and then there's no facilitation for them to get into the country, and businesses end up losing a huge amount of benefit that we could get from these particular people moving around. I mean, there are cruises from Durban to Cape Town. That is a local cruise that should benefit people within the country. However, the best beneficiation, because we have not tapped into that market, we don't even look into that market. I think the department should revisit and revitalize that strategy of cruise tourism. And also, there are other areas which need attention. In terms of oceans economy, you've got your whale watching, you've got your cage diving. Now, all these issues, they need the government to also intervene, because if you look at the tents for cage diving, they go to the Department of Environmental Affairs, some of them need hurdles and bottlenecks, they don't get the permits on time, and that means that they cannot operate their businesses, and so people go there for cage diving and the place is operational. So those are the things that we need to look into. Accessibility to permits and so forth. Transport and tourism. The president made assertions to the fact that there are challenges within this particular sector. We have a number of challenges that we need to deal with, and these obviously include the poor road infrastructure that has been mentioned during our oversight versus other places. Although there is some kind of process, because I think we went to the northwest, the roads are bad, but there has been improvement whereby they have been putting roads as they were approved, like the N12, and has been refurbished. During the time, they were still dealing with it. So, but there are other areas where are of serious concern, like areas that lead to your tourist attraction, where, for instance, I remember at one point, the Garden Route had serious issues when you were traveling, since there were serious potholes and so forth. So those are some of the things that need to look into and advocate it to us to say that, can we make an emphasis on this road infrastructure? Can we make an emphasis on this transport logistics, our anything strategy? We need to be practically active within that particular area to say, how do we ensure that airlines that are going to Mpumalanga, airlines are going to the, that are going to Limpopo, they don't diminish over time? Because you have airlines taking up that particular route, and then after a while they withdraw because maybe the route is not that active. So we need to look into that, and we also need to look into air connectivity in Africa. I think members are aware that there's a bit of difficulty between air connectivity in Africa, and that is a big challenge for tourism growth as well, because we have grown to a significant amount of the African market. However, it's still difficult for people within the African continent to travel to South Africa because of the air connectivity issue. There's also an issue of accessibility of the car rental segment by historically disadvantaged individuals, as it's a quite difficult market to enter into. We also need to look into how do we promote new entrants into getting into these businesses which are a bit difficult to enter into, so that we grow the economy of the country and also contribute positively towards the job creation. the fight against corruption, I think this is a very serious one. And I think the department, the committee has been raising this particular issue with the department a number of times. The segment of the department which was more prone to corruption and sort of the EPWP problem. Now, obviously members are aware that there are cases that are undergoing, and obviously now and again we've been receiving information from the department that it's a bit subjudicated to get into that particular space. However, I think it's important for the department to report back to the committee as and when new information becomes available, and also on the issue of the South African Tourism Audit Query, which is laboring on a bit of corruption and influence by a particular senior manager in the offering of the tender. So those are the things that in terms of the committee needs to look into effectively to say, are there any spaces where they're being corrupted and so forth, so that we're able to guard against corruption within the system. The Back to Basics program, it speaks to the municipal part of our economy, whereby tourism operates mostly there. And I'm sure Honourable Force would be happy to hear that there's a Back to Basics program, because the number of institutions which are public recreation areas that have not been taken care of in other municipalities. And I think over time we've spoken about the issue of skill within the human resource that reside within those municipalities. So the President mentioned that there would be employment of highly skilled people within those sectors. So, and this will also assist in terms of the tourism program, that there would not be shifting of funds as well, because funding for tourism activities has already been shifted to other programs when there's a need. If there's a local government issue, maybe water services, they would take the funds that were initially allocated for tourism and move them to that particular part. So we hope that in the manner that the President has alluded to this, it will filter down to the bottom, and that would be the move moving forward. In terms of the recommendations, Chen, the department, after an enactment of the role, has to revise the 2020 targets and the National Tourism Sector Strategy and project the 2030 to align with the tourism with the National Development Plan, because the National Development Plan has a target of 2030. I'm not sure if this would mean that in terms of their re-evaluation, they would revise the targets down or they would improve them, so we also need to watch that closely. In terms of portfolio, continues to engage with the Department of Economic Development, assessing the rollout of youth employment incentives and how tourism benefits from this initiative. On a more permanent basis, the tourism graduate placement program needs to be developed for the tourism industry to avoid a long list of tourism graduates that await placement after they have finished the theoretical aspects of the training. That continued lobbying for high-level interventions is required to assist the UNESCO declaration in fulfilling its objectives. Existing bilateral in other countries are hidden to the improved declaration objectives. The Russian tourism is going to intensify marketing initiatives locally and abroad and consider all market segments in order to sustain the growth and trajectory in tourist arrival. To ensure effective and efficient use of public funds, a deeper analysis of the value for money should be conducted to avoid duplication and wastage of public funds between SAT and Great South Africa. The skills challenge calls for a dialogue between the National Department of Tourism, Department of Basic Education, Department of Higher Education, and the CAPSIG, which is a center for tourism skills and learning, for the determination of the appropriate curriculum that will improve tourism education. The department needs to present their role and how they will ensure that and align the program of the department to attain the goals set in the State of the Nation address. So as the President has mentioned, all those things, so in terms of the things that have been noted that have a direct and indirect impact, how will the department achieve this? Also, I mean, the National Department needs to work closely with private sector interests to develop a graduate placement program for tourism graduates. Continued effort and ensuring transformation of the industry is required, as there are positive spin-offs from transformation. Parliament also needs to raise questions related to the community tourism projects that have been implemented, why certain projects have been abandoned, and what are the measures that have been employed to recovering the investment in those projects. These are your EPWP projects. How many of these projects have been resuscitated, and what criteria has been used to avoid oversaturation of certain products in certain areas, so that the department does not necessarily fund BSBs, because the tourism sector is actually a very huge market, so that we the diversification of products. Parliament also needs to continuously agitate intergovernmental relations. So intergovernmental relations with social governments and other spheres of government. Parliament needs to find a way where possible to organize meetings of committees such as Home Affairs, Transport, Environment, Small Business Development, and other committees which may have indirect consequences to the work of the committee. That is, if there is such a possibility here. Regulation of the new Act has not been drafted. The regulations within the different segments of the Act, we have not seen those, and Parliament should treat this as a priority in order to assist in the flow of programs within the Department. Parliament needs to continue to closely monitor the EPWP program and also to advance questions in relation to the following. The time frames of projects, which projects have been completed, what plans are there for future projects, and whether the projects have been equipped for sustainability post handover. Parliament must continue to engage Department of Tourism on measures being employed on promoting cultural tourism and what developments are in attracting investors for infrastructure development in rural areas. Parliament also needs to conduct extensive oversight of the implementation framework of the tourism incentive program. Access to the tourism industry by social disadvantaged individuals is still an important issue that needs to address. Parliament does need to determine what measures are being employed by the Department of Tourism to assist APIs in accessing the sector and what support programs are employed to ensure sustainability of such programs. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. It won't be a presentation as such, it's just an emphasis on the issues that were raised by Ms. Ntuli, because we did comment notes to avoid the intrusion. It's just an emphasis made of the things that we think members should take forward. The issue of energy solutions, addressing the energy crisis in the country, is an issue that we can all see. It's not affecting tourism, but affecting all other sectors. But there are best practices elsewhere in the world where the tourism industry is trying to minimize the effects of tourism on energy usage. Ms. Ntuli did allude to issue of energy solutions in the EU. Maybe that is something that members should suggest to entity to say, let them look at this model and see if they can really customize it to South Africa. Because it covers a lot of issues. Members, we are a long-haul destination and we contribute a lot in terms of carbon emissions into the atmosphere. So this energy toolkit that has been developed in the EU addresses those issues also, because if you look at the tourists these days, and those members who an oversight when a presentation was made on FTT, you would have heard them talking about these issues. To say the response to tourism is just a directorate within the department. You have a director, I don't know how many staff are members under him. But they have done tremendous work in terms of coming to a point where you have a national standard on responsible tourism. Going back from 2002 when the responsible tourism manual was but you this is not mainstream. Responsible tourism is not mainstream, it's just where that is done by that department. But I have to look at how do you mainstream it across all the programs of the department, how to influence the private sector. So coming back to this issue of energy solution, there needs to be tangible progress that deal with responsible tourism, because that will then influence purchase of our tourism products by the international market chain. If you look at that e-bookkit, because that energy solutions, they have an is a well-defined and detailed toolkit, where, for example, if you use so many watts of electricity in a particular day. This thing is calculated to say, if you use so much electricity, how much coal did you burn? Therefore, how much emission, how much of emission did you contribute into the atmosphere? So then that will be worked down to say, okay, in a month, for example, this is how much emissions was emitted from the calculate that for the destination. And that is why then it goes back to the issue of your carbon trading, because also an issue of carbon trading, where you can say, this is what I'm doing about this issue, therefore you get incentive as a hotel in terms of that. But as it is, the toolkit is only for Europe, and Europe is a cold country. There you said your electricity won't be the same as ours, so it needs to be customized, and it can then position us as South Africa to say we are really serious about responsible tourism. It's not just all electricity, it goes to the issue of recycling as well, to say how do hotels attend to the issue. Is it just you cannot force them, but if there are programs that are advocated by the department to say, do recycling. Other hotels have very good capacity in South Africa. Other hotels have embraced, for example, Wemmy, where you don't just see if people have been eating and all this was leftovers, you don't throw them into the landfill sites. You do Wemmy within the hotel, then you produce your own like compost that you use for your garden and so on and so on. So you market using these things, and if you market using that information, so our outlook out there as a country in terms of responsible tourism, then we are competing with a lot of destinations who are doing this thing, but for us in South Africa, these issues are not mainstream. So I'm saying as much as there's a minimum, but we need to have tangible programs. There are those that we already know, for example, issues of if you have not used a towel, you should just leave hanging, don't on the floor, and so on and so on. But there are bigger things that we can do as a country to influence the global community to say we are serious about responsible tourism. This goes into the booking system. Let's say you have a hotel with 10 floors. How do you book your people to just book? If it's a customer A comes, you book them in 4-1, customer 2, then you put them in 4-5, customer 5. It's so many, you may have, maybe that floor can accommodate, they say 20, and you have 20 people booked on the day, meaning all those people can be housed within the first floor. But if you book these people, you book 20 floors because they have 1-1, meaning now if you are lighting your facilities and so on, you have to light 20 floors instead of just one floor. So all these things, it's education that the government can do together with the trade to say these are the things we can do to mainstream responsible tourism. There is the issue of the tourism investment program. This one is a contentious one for now, because remember, I will recall the department came here and they had to come back to the committee to discuss issues of how the program has been improved. We have been informed that the program is launched on the 10th of March. The department is on the appearance before the committee on the 13th of March, meaning this will be after the program has been launched. So meaning you will be following behind. So whatever input you wanted to make to the program, I don't think there is a chance to do that, unless if then something else can be done. Just because remember, we will recall we have requested even then the concept document so that you can see what criteria, how to be done. So some of the things we were talking about, issue of retrofitting and all, those are the issues that but we don't know how these things are going to be done, what categories of businesses will be benefiting from this. Because if you look at what the program entails in terms of what was presented to the committee before, and the prospect of transformation in the industry, given that we do not have any mechanism as a tourism sector to apply from DTI like other sectors to say as tourism, because funds that sectors with DTI for tourism have been moved to the department. So we have to be innovative as tourism and ensure that we maximize, because other than that, we don't have any other funding other than what is appropriated to the department. So if we are not tight on the tourism incentive scheme, we might not see a transformation in other things that members want to do within your tenure as members of this committee. There is issue of Operation Pagis as well that came from in the State of the Nation address. But if you look at this one, tourism is not directly mentioned. And this will be the same like, I mean, as you recall, when the issue of the infrastructure program also was, tourism was not there. So what the committee did was to unpack this and suggest to the department, and the department has then come that way in terms of how do you then as tourism engage in activities that will benefit the sector from that infrastructure in progress. So the same thing we think needs to be done with Operation Pagis. So the department to be innovative to say how do we then get into the Pentagon and ensure that tourism also benefits. So there are things that we know as a country we have that can benefit. If you look at our coastline, the stretch of our coastline, there's a long coastline and it's underutilized in terms of tourism. If you look at other countries that have the same attributes as us, they are far ahead. If you look at countries like Kenya, I'll make countries that compete with us like directly. In Africa, you have Kenya, then there's Australia. So those countries, they compete directly with our offering here. But we are not at a level where we are fully developed in terms of those. If you look at beach resorts, for example, we do not have world-class beach resorts in South Africa. People will fly, you even have, if you look at it, like the Cape of Kenya, because they will be combining your beach tourism together with wildlife, which is offering here. You even have charter flights, big spenders going to Kenya, they are not coming here, because we do not have a correct mix in terms of our wildlife experience and beach tourism. But if we improved on how we package our beach tourism, we can then get a lot of markets that is going to those countries. We should also touch on the issue of cruise tourism and recreational facilities. The issue of recreational facilities, ocean recreational facilities, mainly will be licenses. If you look at lucrative ocean activities, they will need. Take whale watching, for example. You have provinces that are very good in whale watching. Whales migrate, we know the pattern, they migrate throughout the eastern coast, meaning all the towns or cities that are on the eastern coast can do whale watching. It will just depend how far the whales swim from the beach. You have those areas where they'll swim close to the beach, but potentially all our coastal cities can do whale watching. And it's a big money spinner. If you look at how much a person pays just to go on whale watching, just one person, it depends, it varies. You can pay up to R1,000 in other areas, but there is no whale boat now that you can go when you pay less than 500. And sometimes just be an hour spinning into the ocean and back. And this is a big kind of spin, and we are not even telling on these things. But now you also have red tape now in terms of licenses. You understand these things are issued by the Department of Environmental Affairs and other issues, or where provinces sometimes you have co-management agreements between the National Department of Tourism and provinces that are responsible. So then there's issue of licenses, and you have to protect your marine ecosystem, so you have to obey those laws. But you can, in areas where it's safe to do so, issue licenses. Therefore, create, because if you look at what pays, it's not accommodation. accommodation does not give you more money. It is activities that are related. So you can have more people coming into the mainstream industry through providing activities. Then you can package our destination better because but it has to do with issues. So therefore, we think members, this is an issue that can be dealt with by the department, with the assistant department, to say how to ensure that we can get these licenses. The issue of road infrastructure. There are specific examples in the country where you get serious complaints from communities in those areas. It is a general sense that our roads are deteriorating, but we have issues that have been raised by the private sector or in specific areas. Apparently, most of these areas are being attended to. Maybe just for the hospital community will go on oversight in these provinces to see what has been happening. If you can make a few examples, the road to Madikwe, so we had a lot of complaints about that. We had a lot of complaints about R-74 that connects Lesotho with KZN. Businesses have been literally shut down because of that road. So that has been going on for a number of years. But if you read the media and follow what is happening, you can see, I think just last month, a tender has been awarded by the State Department just addressed the issue of that R-74, but the issue is still there. Because what happened, in the matter that we can take, like, maybe to take to remember, but how these road infrastructure assets policy. There are these tall buses that carry tourists into these various hotels and attractions. And those tall buses go there because we have pre-booked tours, or tours that are arranged for those destinations. So what happens with these tour buses? The measure that maybe the committee invites Sabrala later, later that can unpack further with Sabrala to say how this happens. Because what they do, they will then take that destination out of the itinerary. Then you'll have a lot of hotels that were benefiting because of that road there. But once you take those tour packages, like the Drakensberg in the area, if you look at the area of R-74, the Drakensberg passages were just taken out of the itineraries. So the hotels that benefited because of those, so some of them that were operators had to close down. So if you fix the road, business comes back. So it's not just a matter of, like, as you said, maybe we are making noise and putting pressure on improving road traffic. It has a direct impact on tourism businesses. The issue also around transport infrastructure capacity, the issue of a lift. We have a situation in South Africa. It is not industry specific issue, but it affects our industry a lot. The LCC, the low cost area, they are very important for our small towns, because they are keen to play in this area. But we find that they are not supported because they also need seat on bus. That's the language they use. They need bus or seats. So if you are an airline and it's not full, so it's operated at a loss, then you shut down. But we have a role that you can play there in the tourism industry, through South African tourism, to say, let us package, and that will also address the issue of geographical, let us package these small towns so well that it can then boost the low cost airline, because they will come. So you have ones that are looking at them with a keen eye to say, are they going to survive? How are they going to assist in that? But really, if SAT, that's why we think members have to really, when they tell their threat plan in March, members have to look closely at how are they implementing their domestic tourism ban. This is in fact for domestic marketing. Because for us, if you were to market and have these domestic packages, then you can assist your small, and then you avoid this issue where tourism is concentrated in cities, then you spread it to us in smaller towns. Also, speaking with the issue of the airlift, almost to this, allude to the issue of the Yamoussoukro declaration. This has been here, and members who were on oversight, we also remember this issue has raised. But we feel the issue now needs to be taken to a higher level because it's not a South African issue, members. It's a member of all AU members. It's an issue of all AU member states. Because they met in Ivory Coast, signed a declaration to say we'll promote open sky policy. This works together with visa. Because you can solve the visa regulation, but if you haven't solved at that level, it will be pockets of excellence here and there. I think, members, the issue, you recall when the CEO for SA Tourism was here, told members that it's even expensive to fly in Africa because you have to fly out of Africa to connect back to another African country because of these issues. And it becomes very costly. So, therefore, why do we say, because if you look at issues of domestic tourism, for example, we say, oh, European countries are doing well in terms of domestic tourism. But this is because it's very easy to move within those European countries, France, Spain, and so on. Some of them, if you take a bike across and so on. So, we can't just fly. Africa is very broad, and you have to fly to these areas. And also, you have to fly to South Africa. And if you look at your spend, if you look at the recent figures that have been coming from South African tourism, you look at Angola, for example. You have an increasing number of people from Angola coming. And those people, they spend a lot also when they come to South Africa. But how to make sure that you have more of the people coming to South Africa? So you need to address these issues of the Amarasu Flow Declaration. So our recommendation, Chair, will be maybe something that you can also investigate as a post-staff, but maybe also through processes in your committees, Chair, because we feel this is a matter that has to be tabled in the agenda of the African Union. And maybe by Parliament, I don't know how it should get into the agenda of the AU, maybe through Parliament, but something that will investigate how even a matter is of this nature. We can talk to our colleagues in international relations to get more. But we think this is a matter that needs to be tabled in the agenda of the African Union to say, what happened to this Yamato Flow Declaration? Because if you have more countries ratifying the declaration, then you have, okay, they have this issue of it's well debated in terms of your aviation regulations. They have this thing they call cabotage rights. If you talk to the Department of Transport, they'll break it down to you. So there is this cabotage right to say, you are allowed to fly to this country, but you cannot connect, and so on. So it becomes a very tedious process. But this is why you find that then maybe SAA, you have a hub, then fly to particular areas and come back, because you cannot fly to other areas because those cabotage rights, they prevent you from doing so. But I think you sorted out the Amasuto declaration, so you can also relax those cabotage regulations, then you can have free movement in Africa. So the cost of travel will become easier. Then you will get real tourists, not just foreign arrivals. You will get more arrivals, but those will be tourist arrivals. So these are the issues that we think the committee maybe needs to take by the department, but the issue of the Amasuto Declaration is the issue that I think if it is Parliament to Parliament, we will check how it works, but we think it needs to be tabled in the AU. And also there was a comment made by the President, which is a very serious comment, and the President did mention that if you follow what people are saying, particularly the private sector, they are welcoming the announcement by the President that there will be a review of visa regulations. And this week, in a meeting in Joburg, where you had Mr. Kosi, who is the CEO of the World Travel and Travel Council, and also Mr. Taleb Rifai, who is the CEO, the Secretary General of United Nations, they were there in that meeting. And this issue was discussed at length, the issue of visa regulations. So WTPC, they are even quoting figures to say, because they interact with these inbound tour operators, because the project will have the likes of tourists and so on. So they are saying, you have these forward bookings, yeah, on year where they know by this time, because our seasons are not the same, they will know by this time we'll be have so many or four bookings for people will be coming here maybe 3 or 6 months time. So they are think as it is now, they have dropped between 60% and 80%. And when he said that, really, you can say, wow, where are we going? If that is true, but that is what he said. We have four bookings by that level. But it was encouraging because where the Minister of Tourism, like, contextualized these issues, in that meeting, the minister said, no, they have agreed at the cabinet level that the deputy president is going to facilitate anything between DECO, NDT and Home Affairs to look into this issue. So the committee then has to make a follow-up of what is happening in that regard, because if that were to happen, she has to give assurance to the president to say we are doing something about this. But the snag is the date is still in place that the new regulation will start on the 1st of June. So I think members have to follow that up with your colleagues. I'm looking at the chairperson in particular. Because chairperson, the bill maybe you need just one-on-one maybe to engage the minister on this issue to say really how far is this going. And so that South African tourism can start issuing statements that will reassure the private sector, the inbound tour operator to say no, the issue is being addressed. If there is relaxation, maybe continuous communication that will reassure people that no, we are addressing. So for that, because it gets all the figures that some interview are seeing, those figures, they depend mainly on arrivals. Because if you look at your GDP spend, so it was 3%, 9.5, the bringer figures for last year, they are not official yet, like the total contribution of tourism is at 10.5, which is good. But now, once you start losing these numbers, it's not just that you're going to lose numbers in terms of arrivals. Those arrivals, they tend to spend. More people come here, they spend here, so different retailers, hotels, so on, charge taxes, so those taxes go into our coffers in terms of GDP. So if we lose it at the issue of arrivals, we might just well and forget about any other spin-off. So I think that is a message, but I think what the minister announced in that meeting is that reassurance. That no, we're doing something about it, but it's just a matter of follow-up so that also, you know, oversight like with SAT, they can start to give message of reassuring the fact that the government is doing something. Thank you, members.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Over to you, members. Though they might not be in a position to answer all the questions, but let's talk. Okay. Everybody that has got something to say is over.
Firstly, I would like to congratulate both the competent advisor and the committee researcher for presentation well delivered or well researched and then well delivered this morning. I think it's very comprehensive and it also gives us a nice foundation in terms of our deliberations for the year, ties in perfectly with what we did at our pre-strategic session, and most of the things that came out of your presentations speak to those objectives very well. So I think it's very useful, specifically the recommendations. Now with the local government conference coming up, I think it's useful, specifically with regards to the responsible tourism and the need to mainstream tourism into green economy, because we know that local government is more responsible for these type of issues than national government in terms of new developments, hotels and all these type of places. So if you're talking about retrofitting those type of places of accommodation, I think that should come out in that particular conference, because municipalities through their building development departments are responsible for approving building plans, etc. So when new hotels are developed, and obviously you need to look at those things early on in the planning stages. So I think it's important that we communicate this particular message to our local government partners at that conference, and that it should form part of that toolkit. Because a lot of emphasis has been placed on marketing and product development and local infrastructure, but not enough in terms of the role of the municipalities in ensuring retrofitting places of accommodation and also your responsible tourism. I know that the Grand West Casino and Hotel, for example, was one of the very first places that the city of Cape Town recognized as one of these places which did a complete makeover in terms of all their bulbs, their light bulbs, their water and sanitation, and even producing their own vegetables for the hotel. So they produce all of their vegetables on site. So those are the type of things. I think you get accreditation. There's a code that's attached to it. I'm not sure now what it is. That's right. So I think that should form part of that local government toolkit, so that we empower local municipalities, local government partners to understand that they've got actually a very important role to play when it comes to mainstreaming tourism into green economy, speaking to point number one. The issue of the visa regulations, much has been said about it, and it is quite, we welcome obviously the President's announcement, but in the next day the Minister of Home Affairs said that, well, there's not going to be much movement on it. But at least we know that there's this interministerial committee chaired by the Deputy President, and we really hope that there will be some good progress made in it, because I think the biometrics on arrival, that's the important thing. We've been championing the issue of electronic visas, but I think industry has actually come out very strongly and suggested that there should be more focus on biometrics on arrival. So I think that is something that we really as a committee need to pursue. Then the issue of local or infrastructure development, the announcement of 11 billion rand of upgrading and maintaining roads which are not tolled is welcome. I think it's slide number 10. Then if you compare that with one of the slides from Punki in terms of, on page 6, transport and tourism. Poor road infrastructure in certain areas of tourism, significance to operators and processes. Okay. The whole thing is, if we want, we know that a lot of tourism emphasis is on major cities. And I think the committee is unanimous that we need to focus more on rural tourism development. So the announcement by the President that there will be more upgrading and maintaining of rural roads is important. But I think that this committee or this department should actually be playing a more leading role in assisting the Department of Transport by providing strategic advice. Where are those towns and communities that actually need to form? Because the Department of Transport obviously have a plan, but we have a plan, and I think the two need to speak to one another, so because it forms part of our domestic tourism strategy. So I don't think we've missed that opportunity at all in terms of playing a leading role in guiding the Department of Transport where those road networks need to be maintained and upgraded. Then lastly, the open up our oceans. It's Pakisa here. Definitely something that we discussed at our strategic session. Cruise tourism is an important one. And I just want to make absolutely certain that we as a committee, that we deal with the issue this year, because we need to make sure that it's part of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. I know there's talks of a review of the NTSS, so I think we just need to make sure that it highlights or features prominently so that we can benefit from that. I mean, there's five very important benefits out of the city's research if you have cruise tourism in your city and in your region. And I think those five key points, I can share it with the researchers at a later stage. I'm not going to go through them now, but there are five important points that the city did research about. And I think that should be in the NTSS, because it speaks perfectly to that priority. And then the Back to Basics program that Punki has mentioned, yes, and that comes through the toolkit, the municipal or local government toolkit, because of those results. Now, another resident, the President mentioned something about investigate possibility of developing beach resorts in coastal cities, etc. Now, we have those resorts already, because many of the municipalities along our coastal regions have already developed many of these holiday or camping sites and resorts. And I think to avoid duplication, Gav discussed it last week at our oversight, or the week before. I think we should actually ask the department to present us with that audit of those results, so that we can make sure that those are the results that we want to focus on, to give some emphasis to the particular point, to avoid duplication, that we go and develop new things if already infrastructure that should just be upgraded or at least developed and then more marketed accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My comment, and maybe it's just a question that one of the researchers or the research or the content advisor can answer. Operation Pakisa, in my very brief interrogation, is very soft on coastal tourism. There's no specific emphasis on tourism. And that's a problem for tourism in South Africa because, as it's been mentioned, a huge component of our tourism market share is contained along the coastline. And it comes back to our discussion of, you know, developing our oceans for aquaculture versus preserving the integrity and conservation aspects of the maritime ecology and its benefits for tourism. And I think there's an opportunity, and the question is whether we can get a presentation on Operation Pakisa or a summary as to the aspects that pertain to tourism, maybe along the lines of conservation. I know conservation is a big part of that. But this is the challenge, and during the oversight why I raised this issue specifically in Algarve Bay or Nelson Mandela Bay, where there's this misalignment, you know, where the core economy along that beachfront is tourism, and there's the possibility of developing an offshore aquaculture development zone. So we need to try to find a way to make tourism a prominent feature within the discussion around Operation Pakisa. Otherwise, I think we're going to, if we don't pay careful attention to it, I think there's going to be, some user conflict between what tourism activities that exist along the coastline, whether it's shark cage diving or scuba diving or sailing or Iron Man or whatever activity involves the coastline. And that goes for beach resorts as well. And I mean, if you develop infrastructure off the coastline, it all of a sudden takes away the charm of going to a beach resort. So we just need to pay careful attention to that and monitor that closely, and perhaps we could get some sort of a summary or an analysis of the potential conflict with Operation Pakisa for coastal tourism in South Africa, because I see that being a challenge. That's my personal feeling. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you to the two presenters. It's much to absorb. But I would like to attract your attention to some documents that were given out in 2002, the Cape Town Declaration, the National Responsible Tourism Guidelines, Responsible Tourism Manual for South Africa. That is how many years ago? 30 years ago. And I think these documents should be revisited. And especially in the light of our energy crisis, and especially in the light that tourism is one of the pillars of our economy, I think these documents should be revisited and made to the circumstances of 2030. Then, Dr. Pazayo, you mentioned the development of South African model to quantify energy usage in hotels. Is it possible for you to give us the Hotel Energy Solution EDIT of Europe so that we, as committee, can have a look at it and perhaps come with recommendations to the department on that use? The other thing is, I also want to speak to Operation Pakisa. You know, when we talk about Operation Pakisa, we think in terms of development of our ocean economy. It's good. But we have to look at small towns, especially in my province, such as Port North, Durangbay, Wonderlabay, and some of the West Coast towns.
the tourism should lie in the fact, in the rural entity of Mr. We shouldn't put hotels there, but we should attract people to come and look at the way our people is living there. Because most of the first people of this country is staying in that part of our country. So I think we should emphasize that also, not just the resort that should be built. Then on the licensing of ocean recreational facilities, we should also focus on the small players. It should be a danger for a small fisherman to take, for example, tourists on these boats that they row. Because I think it will be a danger for them when the climate allows for it. The other thing is, we're always talking about rural development. I think the Department of Tourism should look holistically in South African domestic development. And I'm speaking specifically to a town such as Carnarvon. Carnarvon is now the hub of astrological astronomy with the salt and all those developments there. But you know, from the honourable members, there's hardly facilities for tourists to go and stay. So I think we should not only depend on provincial legislatures to do it, but from the national department, there should always also be an input to develop such towns as Carnarvon, because there isn't enough facilities to I think somewhere in May there will be a big conference, and the struggle there is to, there is a person that was formerly in Parliament, and she wants to establish a guest house, but funds, there's no funds. So we should look at this strategic point as one of the presenters also mentioned today. This is, Ms. Mthuli mentioned the creation of jobs in slide 2. She said 645,000 jobs were established in 2013. Are they permanent jobs? Semi-permanent? Which you will have, if they are permanent, how many casual jobs are there? And then, lastly, Chair, you always speak of skills development. As the Department of Tourism identified which skills are necessary. What, I've read a booklet here to say 100 tests were trained. But always here on chef training, always here so many chefs were trained. I no other skills that are needed in a section. And the other thing is, can we have a audit of all graduates in the tourism sector that is unemployed? Because we will be shocked if we have that audit. Thank you, Jesus.
No, thanks, Chair. I think the Honourable Member just covered all the areas of concern, but I just want to emphasize on this tourism investment program. I think I'm hoping that the committee will make it. To launch the program without the committee being involved or make any comments, I don't think it would be all right. I think this is the area that I wanted to raise. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me again. This is truly important. On slip 5, you said that progress in tourism growth and development and the current status. You mentioned cruise tourism abandoned as the department felt it was not feasible. What was the reason that the department said it was not feasible? Thank you.
I'm sure this is an input from the members of the committee, because I'm sure the researcher and the project advisor might not be able to answer those questions. And also, if they really sharpened up, so then when the department comes and when SAT comes, we've got all these questions to ask. In fact, the department should tell us that now that the operation Pakisa, why is it that it has in the pipeline around Operation Pakisa to promote tourism, particularly around the coastal line, because we've got the longest coast really in Africa. What is it that the Department of Tourism can do to promote coastal tourism and the work in Operation Pakisa? They must do their homework in the NTSS. And around the EU Phuket, maybe Phuket can also do some research, much as the content advisor is telling us about it, but Phuket can do research around it so that we're able to fully understand it. And now, Department of Home Affairs, stating that visa issue will kick in nevertheless at the same time, and they will have these centers all over. Will they have the capacity? When they don't have the capacity here at home, will they have the capacity? That's for China and India, but not being in that department, maybe our minister can tell us, because he's really out and out from the I don't know whether you want questions around this, I mean, want answers around this, or there's an input. If there are answers, or if there are comments, because I think they'll be commenting more than answers. But this is food for thought for the department and SAT. But my biggest role, really, SAT has not done us justice around domestic policy. Honestly. It has not done us justice. Even at the time when it was with environmental affairs, it did not do the country justice around domestic tourism. Actually, I think we were all surprised. I don't know whether the prize, but we all said, whoa, if countries like Kenya managed to promote their domestic tourism and their economy, take domestic tourism and the economy of Brazil and all, they don't have taken that. Thank you. Over to you. If you can respond, and after your response, we will not have any follow-up questions. We will quickly go onto the minutes of our overhead, and then we will go to the draft from the perspective of the state of the Nation Drive. The draft portfolio committee oversight in November last year. Let's look at that and put them in the room. And also, we have invited you to come and arrest us and tell us exactly where the MMEs and SMEs are. Profit by profit. We don't want an individual who has been developed as an SMME, because I've been following up, there are quite a lot of stories around this campaign. So we'd like to get information around that and follow it up. And around the issue of sex, we also invited the sex people, the hotel hospitality, to come in and have us agree on that. Thank you. Ken, if you have a position to respond, do you respond?
Thank you for the question.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Ken. I think there was a question with regards to jobs from Honourable Members, in terms of the jobs that are highlighted there, the 635,000 jobs, those are permanent and semi-permanent jobs within the industry. Those are like direct tourism jobs. And it does look a bit like it's a lot of jobs, but those are the jobs that are there in the industry in its totality, that are direct tourism jobs. And if you look into, in terms of our ranking, in terms of these particular jobs that we have, I'm just going to... The ranking of the country in terms of these jobs terms, it puts us at position number 86, that is total contribution to employment. And position 86, it means that in terms of our contribution in the industry, total contribution in the industry in terms of jobs, we are surpassed by countries like Namibia, Lesotho, Zambia, Madagascar, Tanzania, Botswana in Africa, and even Kenya. So it does look like a huge amount of jobs, but we are nowhere in terms of the spectrum. We sort of like really below. So those are the temporary and full-time jobs that are within the industry. We're number 86 of 184 countries. Yeah, 184 countries. And in the other question that the honourable member asked was, which skills are necessary for the industry? I mean, I think I mentioned the fact that the department should be in a position to communicate with CASISA, which offers some of the training and draft some of the curriculum for the industry. Department of Education, higher and basic, because those are the building blocks towards the bigger courses of tourism. And I think industry has been very clear to say that there is oversaturation of certain elements of the tourism sector. So that's why we saw that it is necessary for the department to be in a position to interact with industry, with the people who draft the curriculum, and come up with a consolidated program that would assist in filling in the gaps. Because I remember that the department did some skills audit, I think it was in 2012, 2013 financial, they did a skills audit. But it was not necessarily conclusive, because like some of the things that were mentioned within the skills audit was the fact that even though there are certain skills that have graduated from university, there are issues in terms of grasping and fitting into the industry, because a parent can come out and say, I'm a tourism officer or something like that. But that person, in terms of their learning curriculum, there was no supporting. So they are missing certain important things that would fit into the industry. Yes, you need tourism officer, but in terms of the training that's provided, the tourism officer output in terms of this particular person now, has got missing gaps in terms of the information that they should have to be able to provide proper service within the industry. So those are things that are highlighted. I remember also raised the issue of chefs. The department said that there was a need for chefs because there was also a need for transformation within that particular industry because there were no chefs, and they had placed some of the chefs with other in other areas. But I think some of the chefs are not in South Africa. I think some of them were in Britain, I think. Yeah? I think some of them were in Britain. So we also need to understand, because I think during the enrollment stages, there was about 200 dropouts in that chef program. So, and then the department mentioned issues of pregnancy, issues of them not coming to this training and so forth. But the way I think about 800 graduates from that particular program. So, but it's not clear that the department will continue the program to try and look at other skills that they can contribute towards. So that is all the information I have here.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah. I think the issue that was raised by Honourable Force is what is coming out. Even if you look at other countries in terms of your biometric on arrival, I think the discussion with the minister, maybe those are issues that he needs to look at when he discusses really with his counterparts, because if you look at other countries, that's what they are doing, and the information is provided by the RCTC, they'll tell you this country reflects these issues in 2009, they'll tell you this has been the impact ever since. So I think it's right, but it's an issue of the inter-ministerial committee. The issues of operation parking is raised by Honorable Whitfield. I'll say this with my current future. The issue of tourism in South Africa, if you look at all our documents, that is from way back in the ICAP, tourism was there. Then tourism was then escalated with the issue of land of the chief economic driver. Then 2009 department became standalone department. But you look at the policy articulation in terms of government. If you read the document, everything, all is good about tourism. But if you look at resources, because people can also do the analysis as community was doing in terms of job creation. You put out Africa with other African countries in terms of how much money are we putting on tourism, in terms of marketing and tourism. Tourism development, because 75% of our budget goes to marketing, so I only left 25% for development. Look at other African countries in terms of how much are they putting in this. So this will then translate into job creation. The latest slide will be ranked in your upper 80s in terms of our contribution in job creation. Is our input, that is the output from our input that we put into. So I'm saying this because really I think we have good policies, but maybe the department also lobbying the national treasury to say, if we really see tourism as this industry, economic sector, there's a potential for creating jobs. Why aren't we really becoming more serious about it in terms of resources? But that is also, treasury can come and say, but I appropriated so much to a department they fail to spend. So I'm saying this is an issue we need to look politically. We have articulated policies very well, but we are not implementing, we are not putting resources into it. It's not just the Bank of Treasury not giving us money, but it's also the issue of capacity. This is a new department only from 2009. But I think capacity needs to be increased in the department so that really tourism can start creating jobs like they are doing in Botswana and in Kenya and so on. The issue of responsible tourism documents, Mam Adams, that needs to, if you look at the history of responsible tourism development, it starts from South Africa as a discussion issue. From 1996 in the white paper on the development and promotion. But if you look at the time lapse between 1996 and when the industry had the fiscal strategy, we had a white paper in 1996, but we only had a strategy only in 2011. So you can see. And also, but in between the time, we had cities and some provinces that started developing their own responsible tourism annual. So it is, you have pocket of this thing here, and it is not well coordinated. So the issue of the department, when they revisit the national tourism to say, let us look at, because the cities that have come up with very, if you look at your county responsible tourism manuals and your city of Cape Town responsible tourism, they are very good things that you can escalate to the national level, even to the at a conference level, because other cities will say, if you have a conference, you won't give us bottled water. You give us water in jar because you'll reuse this jar over and over again. So they are taking those, even other industries, like if you look at your events organizations, they are coming. But this is fragmented. It's not at a national tourism sector strategy level. So I think your point that the department is taking to say, really, you need to regulate your responsibility, so mainstream it and have a tangible program. Also on job creation with operation package, some of us have said, let us not only look at this in terms of, but let me just make examples. If we were to say we are giving more licenses to operators in terms of your ocean recreation facilities, it means you will create jobs because you have to train new skippers, those people who drive the boats and so on. You have to train new savers, these fishes and so on. And there's something that I think also as a community we have not interacted much with, which is happening along the coastal municipalities. There is this issue of blue flag beaches. That some things are very good in this thing. And it is not controlled by government, it's controlled by the organization called WESA. It's an international organization. It attracts the municipalities. And if you look at accreditation for some municipalities that don't do it because they say it's a cost exercise. So if you get capacity building from it, maybe we can look at how they assist municipalities to enroll within the blue. Because if most of the coastal cities that enroll in the blue flag, just imagine how many jobs will create just on life savers alone, because it is a requirement within the blue flag criteria that a should actually need to have life savers if there are so many according to numbers and so on. So I think maybe later here we need also to invite WESA so that they can because cities do not have to enroll in the program throughout the year. Some cities will be affected by rain because they also look at water quality and so on. If you know that the rain season in any particular time, maybe just apply for accreditation for 6 months like other cities. Others apply for the whole year. If you have it for the whole year, you have a sustainable job because those people are there to ask. So these are the issues because home is not a matter of really ask the tourism putting money into operation parking, but it's the department being innovative to say how to do that, because if the whole country is looking towards, we cannot just be quiet that we have tourism and they are not doing anything. But we also have issues of marinas. Our coastal cities don't have a lot of these marinas. So with these marinas, we can have these boat charters, because people that will go Chicago, out in the sea in these boats and so on. Not necessarily for whale washing, just the holiday thing, they go out from these marinas. So there is a lot that we can do around operation parking as a tourism industry. And I think the issue of skills, women don't talk about it, but I also heard the minister in the interaction that we had to say the department will be doing skills audit again, because as Peter then when they did this skills audit, but also you have, I think in a meeting that you sent to another report where we accompanied him with Ujir, this has raised this issue to say we receive a lot of graduates from the training institutions, but these graduates are not ready. We have to retrain, put more money in retraining. So we have to see how we bridge this gap between GACODEN in terms of what an on-job training that people need to be ready for. So I think those are the issues. Why tourism was abandoned? That is a middle question, man. But the reason came from the department to say, this is an outbound tourism for the country, because there are these inbound, those people that are coming here, to operate, bringing people here, so those people will come and spend in South Africa. So the department spent includes tourism to promote outbound tourism. These ships will go to South Africa, they'll take our people to go and spend elsewhere. But what we are proposing to members to say, for us, this is inbound tourism, because these people are coming here. But there are no strategies to say, what do we do with them when they're here? So every state department needs to say, when these people come here, then what do we do with them? Rather than us looking at these ships coming. Because it's a minimal amount of, some of these ships, they come here already full. They don't take anybody else. It's only those that are local. I'm not sure if I can mention, but you have one that is MSC. Yeah, something. So there are international companies that operate in South Africa. They'll do Cape Town, Richards Bay, after Maputo, in other islands, and come back. So that is a death case where South Africans will go into these ships. But you are not talking about scores and scores of people come with these ships to South Africa. But although we are democratic, we cannot stop people from, if they are forced to go on these cruise ships, is their money. But we are saying we have lots of people who come here, but we don't know what to do with them. That is where SAT and the department is to come in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Without any further ado, let's go through the report. It's very concise. I mean, it's very brief. Number one.
Okay, I thought you said you reported.
No, I saw you. Ten minutes before the report is done, and we'll be looking at it later. And next Friday, we'll just be sorting it out, sanitizing it to a new hour. But all these other things we did, adopting
consideration and adopting the report of October 24, October 29, November 2nd. We will. Yeah, we've considered those adopted, seconded. Today we're looking at this one. Do you have any comments just on that very short report? Because I'm still going to look at that. At the real report. And I'm sure the real report will actually state verse number 4 and 5 within you. Number 4 and 5 of this within you. Receive presentation from performance monitoring and see the tourism business council. We did not do that. And your report to parliament in the midst of the oversight. That's it. We're not even adopting this because it's a draft, but we'll be looking into the rain draft for next week. Otherwise, have a very good weekend. Unless there is something very burning that people want us to discuss. However, there has been. There has been an invitation. I'm saying this invitation, now that we have been thinking of it and looking at the budget, we should start this change. The launch of the TIP. The launch of the TIP. We are going to the launch. What are we saying? The launch is going to be launched. The thing is going to be launched. Whatever we say, whatever business we have, is a lobby. And we have been looking to our budget, but we submitted a request. And in the we requested that Honorable and Honorable Force to go, and then the support staff, the researcher, and the project advisor. But what is the locus? If we think seriously of the members of the committee, because even if you are being ground, whatever you're doing, it is just a launch. Is it worth? Why? But if it's supported by the power that be, it will be. If it's not supported, it will not be supported. Either way. But we set in a way. And those are the things that we wish to be on them. And by the look of things, Honorable Martin, I'm not sure whether I'll be back by that time or not. And if he's not back, then we'll have somebody else. Thank you very much.
Thank you. context by the priority of this week.
Because by doing that, then at the later stage when there are important events, then they'll be more favourable because we have already applied a mind salary in terms of deciding on certain meetings and events whether it's important or not. So if you still ask for a blanket extra.
There's approaching in the same
seat
as the same seat because I am not a resource academic friend. Thank you very much. Thank you. 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 Th